So let's dig a little deeper on just the process of discovering unique ability, because it's one thing to know your unique ability, but I'm guessing that when you start implementing changes in your life or business to leverage that knowledge, it turns into something else. So can you give us like an overview, Julia, of the whole process?
Sure. So in the book, we lay it out sort of the easier way. When I do it with my clients, I flip it around and do it the harder way. But the easier way is to start off with that activity. First of all, you have to say, why am I doing this process? You know, why am I doing this? So we have a little exercise in the book. What do I want to get out of this? Do some thinking. And then we get into the listing out your activity inventory. So how do you spend your time? And we have actually a personal and a work one. So you can do the work one and you can do the personal one. Cause I mean, I just hired a food service to bring in some meals cause I am not good at cooking and I would rather spend my time with my daughter than cooking or struggling or all the angst that goes into deciding and grocery. I mean, if I can find a who, as we call it, or delegate that or elevate that, as you know, to someone who's way better at it than I am, then I'm going to do that. So looking through those lists and really seeing, okay, what's even one change that I could make? What's something I could stop doing? What's something even, you know, your spouse is maybe better at it than you are. And sometimes even in personal relationships, there's this assumption, oh, well, the man is good at fixing things. Well, maybe the woman is, you know, or, you know, whatever kind of relationship you're in. But maybe the kid is, you know, we've got kids at our company who plan the birthday parties because they're planners and the parents aren't. So the kids all of a sudden start chipping in there and planning things. So anyway, you start looking at the activities and start looking at what can I take off my plate? What can I find? To now there's technology that you can use for a lot of these things. You know, you can outsource it to technology. And part of it is overcoming that I have to do it all myself mentality and getting into the vibe of unique ability teamwork, where you're actually having to now communicate and work with other people. So that can be transformational in its own right. So every quarter, if you did that and you started stripping away certain activities and letting go of things that are on the bottom of your list and doing more of the things on the top of the other hard part of that, at the beginning, we start, you know, just trying to carve out some space for people. So it requires some letting go. But once you've got more time, or you can even start with the, what do I want to expand my time doing? You know, a lot of the thinkers that we have in our membership at Strategic Coach, they don't have enough time to think. They kind of squeeze it in on a drive, or they squeeze it in on their weekends, which is why they don't take holidays or free days anymore. So we want you to align your calendar and your week with the things that you actually really like to do. Give yourself permission to take a morning to go and think at the coffee shop. That could be the best way that you're going to grow your business ever. But a lot of people think, oh, I have to be dealing with my clients, or I have to be dealing with my team. Well, actually, if you know what your unique ability, going back to clarity, if you know what you're really good at, you can then align your whole life and your time and your activities and your opportunities around that unique ability. So that's kind of the first, more very practical, tactical way to get into unique ability. And then the second part of the book, we get into what we call the naming process. So, and part of Dan's unique ability at Strategic Coach is naming things, and he's very good at naming things. So we get you to articulate and put words around what actually are, what we call them, your 10 best habits. And these are strengths and talents that you've been using since you were a kid. Maybe, you know, you weren't using them all back then, but you can usually see the little germs that were, you know, the things that were seeds that were germinating right then. And then we have you do a couple of assessments to get some outside feedback. We have you send the letter that you were mentioning before. Hey, you find 8 to 10 people in your life, and they can be neighbors, they can be colleagues, they can be family members, they can be clients, people that you know and trust, that you're going to listen to their feedback. You say, hey, what do you think my unique ability is? What characteristics describe me? What am I good at? What do you count on me for? That's a good part of it. And then you just let them answer you. And so you get all this feedback, and you do your Colby, maybe you do your Clifton Strengths. We have a couple of assessments that we use to get this outside input. And then you take the input. And then this is where some people struggle, is how to organize it. And this is where I usually come in. And we've tried to help you in the book. How do I articulate? What are the threads that would describe my talents? So what's one habit? Well, I create conversation. We would dig into that. Okay. What does this mean? Mouth, you know, what are you always doing? That's the question. What are you always doing? Oh, I'm always talking. Okay, how do you talk? How do you create conversation? How do you start a conversation with someone? What are you doing? Are you listening? And then you start to just craft a story around your communication talent, right? And then once you get those, usually people are kind of perfectionistic with this. I would say just do a first 80% and just get something down on paper, because it's better than nothing. And it's also not the easiest process, because we're not, you're like, well, I don't know, Julia, what I'm doing. I'm just talking. You know, it's just like breathing to me. I don't know how to describe it. And so that's where you get into, well, just write something down and just start thinking about it. And then you start to craft out an actual description of your unique ability that you can have going forward.
I wanted to ask you, Julia, about that letter that you recommend people send out. It says, I'm a participant in an entrepreneurial coaching program. One of the most important concepts in the program is the concept of unique ability. And it basically goes down the why of why I'm asking this question. I trust and respect your opinion. But what I thought was really interesting about this letter is we have so many people in our lives that are very, very close to us that we have never asked this question to. We've never had the occasion to say, what is it that you find special about me? And I've heard that some people get emotionally overwhelmed by the responses to this question. Tell me about that. And why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, the only time people usually say that stuff is when you're gone, right? At your funeral. Yeah. That's when they say that stuff.
Yeah.
So I've had people do this even for their daughter. I had one client did this for his wife, who was like a pediatric nurse or something, right? Super sensitive, lovely woman. She just bawled and was in tears when she was given this as a gift of all this feedback. So yeah, we don't ask the people around us what's great about us. We don't, people think, you know, again, society, I think, has conditioned us to think this is ego to ask, well, what's great about me and how can I be better? It's always about how can I fix the things that are broken about me? And unfortunately, we just don't cultivate that kind of culture. So yeah, I've had a lot of people who were scared to send out that letter. They were nervous about it. I had one client wouldn't read the answers. He delegated it to his assistant. And I found out later he hadn't actually read them. I was like, wow, that's really fascinating, because there's something hard in some way, or it's hard to actually look at it for some people anyway, and own it and say, oh, okay, there is this great stuff. Maybe, you know, some people have been criticized a lot in their lives by their parents or by school systems or whatever. So they're used to the criticizing part, but they aren't used to the, oh, okay, I'm actually really good at that stuff. And so it can be quite a, you know, most people who send out that letter, they keep those answers for a long time. Like they treasure those. I still have mine. And I did it again when we rewrote our book. And those are like gold. If you're ever having a bad day, you just pull out your letters. And then the trick really is, how do you take it seriously, what people said? Because sometimes people blow it off. They're like, oh, well, everybody does that. No, they don't. They don't. But you have to listen to me
say
that over and over sometimes.